The scripture reading this morning is coming from 2 Peter, chapter 3, verses 14 through 18. That's 2 Peter, chapter 3, verses 14 through 18. Therefore, beloved, since you look for these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, spotless and blameless, and regard the patience of our Lord to be salvation, just as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given him, wrote to you. As also in all his letters, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to understand, which the untaught and unstable distort, as they do also the rest of the scriptures, to their own destruction. You therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, be on your guard, lest being carried away by the error of unprincipled men, you fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, both now and to the day of eternity. Amen.
What a blessing and challenge it is to go to God's word and know for a fact that what we're reading and what we're studying is true. And really, when we consider what we have been talking about for the last couple of weeks, in the month of October, we was talking about who is God. And on this month, we've been talking about who is the Holy Spirit. The reason why I wanted that particular passage read, especially keying in on verse number 16, we understand that there are some things concerning the Spirit that is difficult to understand. As a matter of fact, Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 9 through 16, it is the deep things of God. Friends, we know for a fact that God's mind is deep. And because God's mind is deep, it's going to require us to go deep into his word. Even in the midst of our delving deep into the Word of God, we understand that there are some things that we're just not going to get. We understand that the Bible teaches us in Deuteronomy 32, that the secret things are of God, Deuteronomy 29:29. I had to get that right, sitting here thinking about that. But we understand that God's mind is deep, friends. And because of that, we see Peter saying something very powerful about his beloved brother Paul. Now, keep in mind, this is the same Paul in Galatians chapter 2 that rebuked Peter to his face. And here he calls Paul his beloved brother. And he says that the things that Paul speaks are deep. They are cannot be understood. They're hard to understand at times. And friends, when we're thinking about the Holy Spirit and the teachings of the Holy Spirit, some of the teachings concerning the Holy Spirit are hard to understand. Friends, that doesn't mean that they're not understandable. They're just hard to understand. You know what happens is that sometimes we have so much going on in our hearts, in our minds, that we can't understand God's will. And this is why all of us, friends, have to set out a particular time for God every single day. It's going to require prayer and meditation and study, pondering. God desires for us to ponder his word. Why? Because God wants us to find him, Acts chapter 17, verses 25 through 27. God is not far from us. He wants us to grope after him. He wants us to find him. He wants us to know his will. So as I was thinking about this, we look at this particular text, and here we see that Peter says in verse 17, our beloved brother Paul. And friends, we understand that there are some who have left the faith all behind of a misunderstanding of the Holy Spirit. That's why we just wanted to just kind of wet our palates, if you will. And we're going to come back at a later date, and we're going to look at more concerning the Holy Spirit, because on next month, we're going to be looking at the suffering Savior, and we're going to be looking at some of the different titles of the Savior, Jesus Christ, on next month. But for 3 weeks, I have been excited about this particular study. And the reason why, because I believe it has opened up not only my mind, but your mind as well. And I hope and pray that you go into the archives on the website and listen to those lessons, because some of the things that we talked about on last week were deep and they were heavy, and it requires some thought process. It requires you mulling over it and reading other particular passages. So I want us to kind of glean from last week and move forward from that as we look into the mind of the Spirit through the Apostle Paul. Number one, remember on last week we talked about how we were sealed and how the Bible teaches us that we're sealed by the Holy Spirit. So let's take this trek through the Bible together. In Ephesians chapter 1 and verse number 13, the Apostle Paul, as we go into his mind and think about some of those things that Peter said that are hard to understand. We understand, friends, that the Spirit came and done his job. There is nothing else for the Spirit to do miraculously. We see that, and saw that rather, in John chapter 16, verses 7 through 9. For the purpose of him coming was to convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment to come. We saw that. Here we understand that the Holy Spirit has a role to play, and he played it in the first century. And friends, we glean from what Paul said to the first century church, and we ourselves can glean some application as well. In Ephesians chapter 1, starting at verse number 13. Here we're going to look at some things, and then we're going to proceed from here and go to Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 30 concerning the Holy Spirit. And why are we sealed? In whom you also trusted after you heard the word of truth. That's key to the passage. The gospel of your salvation. In whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance, notice the time frame, friends, until the redemption of our purchased possession, or of the purchased possession, sorry, to the praise of his glory. Now, friends, you're probably asking, what does that mean? I've always wanted to know, what is being said here? Friends, notice what he says as relates to being sealed with the Holy Spirit. Is he talking about miraculous? Is he talking about the miraculous? I venture to say he's not. He's not talking about the miraculous. He's saying the Holy Spirit of promise. Well, what promise did God give us? The promise of eternal life. But how? By the Word. Friends, it's through the Word. But then turn to Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 30. I want us to see something here, and we're going to make some connections here in a second. Because we have to understand what is the purpose of the Spirit. What is the purpose of his teachings? His teachings is to guide us into the truth by the Word. But friends, we understand that his Word ought to teach us how to live and how to talk and how to interact. In Ephesians chapter 4, starting at verse number 25, notice what the Bible says. Therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth to his neighbor. For we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Notice this language here. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary building up or edification, that it may impart grace to the hearer. And do not grieve, do not frustrate the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed, why? For the day of redemption. Redemption? I thought we were already redeemed. I thought we were redeemed by the blood of Christ. Well, we are redeemed by the blood of Christ. But apparently he must be talking about something that's in the future. Oh, friends, turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, Paul is talking to his young son in the faith. And notice what he says to him that's very powerful and worthy of our understanding. He's dealing with some false teaching. He's dealing with those who have denied the resurrection. But for time's sake, look at verse number 17. And their message will spread like cancer. Hymenaeus and Philetus are of this sort, who have strayed concerning the truth, saying that the resurrection has already passed, and they have overthrown the faith of some. Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands sure, having what? This seal. What's the seal? The Lord knows those who are his, and let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. As Brother Pope Joy was teaching this morning, I was thinking about Revelation 3 and verse number 8. You added to my sermon, and I told him back in the back, I said, you know, that was a good lesson. You was on fire this morning. You was in my lesson. I was thinking about that and how those who name the name of Christ will depart from iniquity, from lawlessness, from sin. But how? Because of what is in them. What is this seal all about? It's about protecting that which is on the inside. You know, after I get through working out, I used to make the mistake of, well, trying to find something to go eat. And brother, I would go 45 hour before I eat something, brother Nate. That's not good, right? Yeah. I mean, you need to eat something immediately. So brother Benson said, you need to get you a shake or something and drink that shake immediately after you work out. So I drink SlimFast. Now, I brought this for a reason. One thing, it has a seal on this. Y'all see that seal? And you got to break that seal. See, but the seal is not for the outside. The seal is what's on the inside. But hold on. They even went even further and put another seal on it. So no contaminants would get in it. To protect that which is on the inside. Oh, friends, when we have the Word of God within us, it makes sure that the contaminants don't come in, because it is the Word of God that's going to be guiding our thinking. It's going to be helping our thought process. It's going to be helping us to walk in the Spirit. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. So we won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. So how is God sealing us today? God is sealing us through the Word. Oh, friends, that's powerful. God is protecting the inside. Oh, Matthew 10, verse 28. Bible teaches us, Jesus said, fear not him that can destroy the body, but fear him who can destroy both body and soul in hell. Jesus, what are you trying to protect? Father, what are you trying to protect? I'm trying to protect your soul. How does God protect our soul, friends? Through the inspired Word of God. That means the more that I get in me. You remember that Prego commercial? It's in there. Y'all remember that back in the day? You know what's in here? All of the nutrients that a person needs in order to gain strength after a workout, or maybe they have lost some strength and they can't take down the food that is necessary. But one thing we know about the food that we labor for is the Word of God. So how do we continue to keep ourselves guarded from iniquity? Friends, the only way you're going to battle sin and win is through the Word, and through proper prayer and proper meditation and continuous fellowship with the brethren. Amen. Oh, that's good teaching right there. Oh, I wish I had an hour. Maybe I can take one. You know, once I realized this, I was thinking, wow, God is trying to protect the inside. So why are we so focused on the outside? Well, maybe we're focused more on the outside because we're not spiritual like God wants us to be. But we can change that. And the way that we can change that, if people want a miraculous measure of the Holy Spirit, John 3 and verse number 30. No, sir, that only was for Jesus. They want the indwelling of the Spirit miraculously. No, sir, no, ma'am. Colossians 2 and verse 9, that was for Jesus. But what about us? What does God want to do with us? God wants us to imbibe the Word. God wants us to feed on the Word. God wants us to drink the Word. Why? Because I want to protect that which is vitally important. That which your physical body houses. Your heart. Your feelings. Your emotions. Your soul. You. Because truth be told, friends, when we die, it's just like when Jesus died. His body went into the grave. I got a point there to make. I'll be right back. His spirit went back to the Father, and his soul went to the Hadean realm. Three-part being. Isn't it amazing that when they buried Jesus, Matthew chapter 27 and verse number 66, Bible teaches us that they sealed him in the tomb. They wanted to make sure that his body was in the tomb so his disciples wouldn't come and steal it. They didn't realize the one that had the power to raise the dead was in control of all of that. He sealed it. It was the angel that came and removed that sealing. Oh, friends, will you allow God to seal you? But you got to want to be sealed for the day of redemption. The day that God is going to come back, send his son back to get us. That we can obtain that new body. That's what God wants to do. I don't know why we make the teaching of the sealing of the Spirit so difficult when God says, I want to make it as simple as I can so you can have great assurance. Point number two. There's a reoccurring theme of the Holy Spirit. Some 39 times the Holy Spirit is referenced in the book of Acts. 39 times. It's magnificent. It's powerful in and of itself. However, we don't have time to go through all 39 of those, so we'll skip the book of Acts and go to Romans. In Romans chapter 8, verse 1 through 20, y'all smile, come on now. This is good study right here. It's good teaching. And here in Romans chapter 8, here we see something very powerful. That the Holy Spirit is looked upon by the Apostle Paul as the Spirit of holiness. That makes sense. Because he is the Holy Spirit, the Hagios Pneumas, the set apart spirit, the mind of God, which means that God himself, his very essence is spirit. His very essence is holiness. He is set apart. In Romans chapter 8, verses 1 through 27, in verses 2 through 5, we see that we must have the right mindset. All because of verse number 2, the law of the Spirit. We understand very clearly that it is the law of the Spirit that's going to determine how we think. We're either going to live according to the Spirit's teaching or we're going to live according to our own understanding. Solomon said in Proverbs 3 in verse number 5, trust in the Lord. Lean not to your own understanding. Sometimes we think that our understanding is greater than God's understanding, or God's understanding must be like my understanding because I'm right. No, God is right. And he's the only one that's always right. As a matter of fact, I can be wrong 100% of the time, but God can never be wrong 100% of the time, because God is always right, God is always holy, and he is always esteemed as the one that knows what he's doing. God is God. In verses 9 through 11 of Romans chapter 8, you go back and you read this, here we understand that we have life. And God sent the Holy Spirit to inspire holy men, 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 20 through 21, that we may have the word of God, that we may be able to live a life of holiness, that God can give us eternal life. And that's what Paul is dealing with. But then in verses 12 through 16, God or Paul is teaching us that we can know that we are saved. We can know that we're in Christ, and we can know that we are holy, all because of Romans 8 verse 2, the Spirit's teaching. How do I know if I'm holy? How do I know if my life is right? How do I know if I'm rearing my children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord? How do I know if I'm treating my spouse right? How do I know if I'm treating my neighbor right? How do I know if I'm treating myself right? I can go back to the Spirit's teaching. And what he gives us, it fortifies us, it encourages us, it admonishes us, meaning that it warns us. And one thing that God is so good at is being balanced. He is a balanced God. He is a God that had the ability to destroy all things, yet he says, I love you too much to destroy you, therefore I send my son and I send guidance through the word so you can come back home to me. And all of God's teachings are designed to bring a man close to God, that he may live with God and that God may say, well done. Wow. Sometimes I wonder, do we really know what we have in our hands? Do we really know what we have right here? Sometimes I gotta check myself, Brother Dennis. I'll get on my phone, Brother Dennis, and I start checking my Facebook. I said, man, you need to put that thing down and get in the Bible. I need a new one anyway. But you you get my point, right? Sometimes we need to put the phone down and get into the Bible. Well, my Bible's in my phone. Put the phone down and pick up a paper copy, because sometimes it's so easy when you get that notification that you can't even go to the Spirit's teaching. One thing that God will be good at, once you begin reading His Word, He'll always send you a notification. Oh, I need to change that. He'll always send you a notification. You got to get in the book, though. You got to get into the teachings. I didn't mean to spend that much time on that point. Verses 16 through 26, we have assurance and confidence that we're in Christ and we have that new body coming. But we just got to keep longing and groaning after it, and it's going to be all right. But verses 28 through 39, let's look at this. In Romans chapter 8, I told myself again I was going to be lecturing, and that didn't happen. I guess y'all don't have to worry about me lecturing, because it probably ain't going to ever happen. In Romans chapter 8, look at verse 28. These are some powerful passages. Oh, yes, we can look at it from a principal perspective as Paul speaks by inspiration of the Holy Spirit as it relates to all things working together for our good. But here, Paul is really talking about our salvation. That's what he's talking about. Oh, aren't you glad that you are in Christ? Aren't you glad that you are saved? Aren't you glad that the Holy Spirit led holy men to teach us how to live our lives, that regardless of what takes place in our lives, regardless of the tragedy, regardless of whatever's going on, we have salvation. We're saved. Notice what he says. Let's read. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose, for whom He foreknew, He predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, in order that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He predestined, these He also called. Whom He called, these He also justified. And whom He justified, these He also glorified. I want you to underline in your Bible, if you want to, if you write in your Bible, the word these. Let's be the these. Let's be those people who are called the these. Because we want to be the these who are glorified in the end. Really, that's what life is all about. Life is not about what we see down here. Life is what we know what's going on up there. Notice verse 31. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Friends, this is so encouraging. And Paul did not get this from osmosis. He didn't get it from underneath his pillow at night. He got it from God. Who can separate us? And friends, this is why we have to go to the Spirit's teaching. We have to go to the Word of God. Because this life down here gets rough sometimes. We lose our minds sometimes. We want to quit Christianity sometimes. And friends, the Bible teaches us very clearly, who should separate us from the love of God? Notice, shall tribulation or distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, danger, sword, as it is written, for your sake we're killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I'm persuaded, Paul, how can you say this? How can you be persuaded, Paul? Because if anybody who has been there and done that and went through it, it was Paul. And if anybody understood that the law could do nothing for him, Romans chapter 7, it was Paul. If anybody understood that the law only showed him that he was a sinner, it was Paul. And that the Spirit's teaching, that the Holy Spirit, that the dispensation of the Spirit, Acts chapter 2, is now what I need if I'm going to be right with God. He said, nothing is going to separate me. He says, more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I'm persuaded that neither death nor life, angels nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, height, depth, nor any other created thing shall separate us, be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Here's the point I want to make concerning the Holy Spirit right here, friends. We have people who want the miraculous measure of the Holy Spirit, and the problem is God did not send that for us. He sent it to the disciples that he could teach us how to be like God. That's why he sent him. To govern our lives. So the question we have to ask ourselves is this. Do we want to be governed by him? Do we want to be governed by what the Holy Spirit left us? His teachings. And friends, we have to teach our children this. We have to teach them what God has left us. His word. Which means that you got to spend time with your children, young parents. Spend time with your children. You're either going to spend time with them now or spend time with them later. And later is not always pretty. Because they get grown. Okay? They're already talking back at 2. Imagine at 23, 27, 29, 44. However old y'all may be. You get the point? God wants our children young because they are an inheritance from him. And he wants them back. I believe we ought to be telling young parents, teach your children as much as you can about God now. Discipline them now. Love them now. Encourage them now. Because once they get out into the world, Satan's going to have his way and they're going to need something within them that's going to help them to get through it so they can get to it. Oh, y'all missed that point. The horn got it. Last point. We talked about remembering that we're sealed. There's a reoccurring theme concerning the Holy Spirit. And number three, there are great resources and riches because of the Spirit's teaching. In Ephesians, let's turn here. I'll make this. Well, I ain't going to sit there and say quick. I better not do that. I'll make this as quick as possible. Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit. Now, just keep this theme in mind. Just keep this theme that there are great resources and riches that Paul is telling this Ephesian church. And keep in mind also that the book of Ephesians is all about the church of Christ. The book of Colossians is about the Christ of the church. But here, we see something very powerful. We see that Ephesians is filled with some of the great treasures that the Ephesian brethren could rejoice in. Number one, in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 19 through 22. Now, I need us to kind of step out of the 21st century and go back into the first century for a second. We have to do that because keep in mind that the Jews, being God's chosen people, they were the ones that came up out of Egyptian bondage. God gave them a law in Exodus chapter 20. And then the next thing you know, here we have this seed going to the cross. Or, yeah, we have the seed coming to Mary. And here we got Jesus being born of a virgin. And the next thing you know, we find Jesus teaching his disciples, go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, Matthew 10. They were his chosen people. As a matter of fact, we're the bomb.com. That's it. That's basically what they were saying. We're it. I mean, in John 8, they even said, we are the Abraham seed. We've never been in the bondage under anyone. That was a lie. Jesus dealt with that. But here's the point. Here you have the Jews who received the gospel first in Acts chapter 2, and then here come along the Gentiles in Acts chapter 10, and then the next thing you know, here we find Paul writing to the brethren at Ephesus, and now, well, he's writing that they're all one in Christ. Well, Jesus broke down that middle wall of partition that was between y'all. Now, can you keep this in mind? Here we are Gentiles. Let me go ahead and give y'all a station of our identification. Y'all know what we is? We is Gentiles. That's bad English, but good understanding. We're Gentiles. We're not Jews like they were under that covenant of Moses. If anything, we're spiritual Jews. Here's the point. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 19 through verse number 22. Notice what the Bible says. Now, therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners. Now, can you imagine the Gentile mentality as they are hearing this read? And foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built upon, notice, the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building, being fitly joined together, grows in a holy temple in the Lord. Here it is. In whom you are also being built up together for a dwelling place of God. Where? In the Spirit. Hold on. Can you imagine being a Gentile hearing that? And hold on, Paul, are you saying because we're in the age of the Spirit that we're just like those Jews? Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, there's no distinction now. There's no separation now. We're all one now. That's Paul's main point, and we see that in Ephesians 3 and verse 5. Ephesians 5, verses 8 through 14. Matter of fact, look at Ephesians 5. Look at verse 26. Verse number 26, there is a washing that takes place. How is this washing taking place? By the Word. The Spirit is he's working through the Word today. And we need Him. And friends, as I close, in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 18, and for time's sake, let's just look at verse 17 and 18. He talks about that sword of the Spirit. And he tells us what the sword of the Spirit is. It's the Word of God. What's cutting you up today? Something's cutting us. It's either the Word or sin. But something's cutting us. I think I'd rather have God cut me. Let me illustrate that. About 30 years ago, I remember a guy getting cut up on the streets. They left him there for dead. They had to take him to the hospital, and someone who was professional in cutting had to sew him up. That's a lot different than you making an appointment to a surgeon, Nate, and he cleans his hands up and he uses sterilized equipment and he cuts you and he sews you back together. One thing about Satan don't mind cutting you up. He'll never sew you back together. One thing about the Word of God, and this is why we have to put on the whole armor of God. We understand that the sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. And we understand that when we have this mentality, that when we pray and supplicate, we can do it in the Spirit. The right attitude. Oh, friends, I said all of that to say this right now. I got one point. All of that was introduction. We got one point. Let's stay in the Word. That's where our food is. That's where our encouragement is. That's where our admonishment is. That's really where our all is. And when we hear God's word, we hear God. Nothing miraculous. God ain't gonna come and speak to you in some whisper. No, God is gonna say the same thing to you that he says to me. Why? Because he is no respecter of persons and he loves us. If you're not a child of God, we want you to be. You may have a misunderstanding of the Spirit because of some denominational preacher, maybe the way that you was reared. Maybe you grew up in denominationalism. We don't apologize for teaching and preaching the truth. We just want to make sure that we teach it and preach it in love. But we don't apologize for what God says. And because man has misconstrued God's word, and like our dear brother just read in 2 Peter chapter 3, 14 through 18, to their own destruction. I truly believe that when you get off on the Spirit, you get off on pretty much anything. That's why we have to study. If you're not a child of God, we want to study with you. We want you to be a Christian. How? Well, the Holy Spirit teaches how to become a Christian. You know, you have to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. You must be willing to repent of your sins, Acts 17 and verse 30. You must be willing to confess Jesus Christ as Lord, Matthew 10, 22 and 33. You must be willing to be baptized in water for the remission of your sins. And when you do this, God himself will add you to his son's church, the church of Christ. And the only thing you have to do is be faithful. Oh, even when you sin against God, you know what faithfulness looks like? I'm sorry. And then you turn away from it, and you go in the way of God. If you're a child of God and, well, you haven't been abiding, let's abide today as we stand and as we sing our blessed Savior's invitation.